joy, everlasting joy. Is it something that eludes you? I mean, you want it, you get it all of a sudden, and then it's gone. Some person has come along and robbed you of your joy. Or something has happened to some possession of yours. Your car is broken down, and you're robbed of your joy. Or circumstances come along and rob you of your joy. Oh, beloved, is it possible to have continuous joy? That's what we're going to talk about as we study the book of Philippians. I want you to know, beloved, that it is an absolute joy for me to be with you today. It's an absolute joy for me to take the Word of God and open it and for you and I to study it together. And we're going to study the book of Philippians. It's the epistle of joy, and you're going to find out why when you do your homework. Now, as you know, when we start a book of the Bible, there are certain things that we want to do in preparation for studying that book. And the first thing that you want to do is you want to go through the book of Philippians. And as you do, you want to mark every reference to the author in one color, I did it in purple, and every reference to the recipients in another color. Now, if you've listened and you've gotten your study guide, then you know what to do. But if you haven't, let me just stop right at this moment and tell you that you can download the study guide by going to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com. And as you go there, if you're reticent about marking your Bible, I hope you'll get over it after you study with me for a while, but if you're reticent about marking your Bible, then we have the whole text of Philippians there, and it's in the study guide, and you can pull it out, and you can mark it as we go along. Now, don't get up and do it right now. I want you to hear this first message on Philippians, because I don't want you to miss a thing. Well, remember, we're all about studying the Bible inductively. And inductively means that you and I go to the text ourselves to find out what God is saying. That's observing the text, finding out what does it say. And then as we find out what does it say, then we move to interpretation. And interpretation is, what does it mean? And then we go to application, from observation to interpretation, and then to application. Application is not, it is not, what does it mean to me? But it is, how does this apply to my life? Because when you look at the text, it's not supposed to be, what does it mean to me? Because God wants you to understand what it means to Him. He wants you to understand what He's saying. And then when you understand what He's saying, then you find out, okay, how does this apply to my life? How does it change my thinking? Or, and I switch my head like that and go like that, for it's a little rusty, you know. And so you change your thinking, and that's application. Or it's the way that you live. You change the way that you live. Or you take that truth and you apply it. Well, as we look at the book of Philippians, I want you to know that I am sitting here with a broken bone in my foot. And my whole plans for the next month have been radically changed because I have to have foot surgery. Well, what happened was I was going through the airport at Flint, Michigan, and I had forgotten my coat. They were boarding the plane. I ran back to get it. Of course, I had to go through security again. Fortunately, it's a small airport. I had to go through security again. I had to take off everything. They've got real tight, you know, instruments there. I was putting it all on. My husband's waiting for me at the gate, and I grab my long coat that I forgot, and as I'm walking on it, I trip. I think I'm fine, you know, just a splat right there in front of everybody, but I get up, and the minute I start to walk, my foot hurts. Well, I get on the plane, I'm praying, I'm taking aspirin to try and reduce any trauma or swelling and that, and finally the next day after walking on it, I discover my foot is broken. Now, The fact that your foot is broken and the fact that you have to have a plate put in your foot because you did a good break means that I'm going to be off my feet for 4 weeks. In other words, I'm not going to put my left foot down for 4 weeks. Now, I am a super active woman. What do I do? Well, the first thing I had to do is I had to count it all joy. That's what James chapter 1 says, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, and they're varied, they come in all sorts of form, count it all joy, knowing that the trial of your faith or the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Then I had to rejoice, because Philippians says, rejoice always. And let's look at it. It's Philippians chapter 4, and it's verse 4, and I can pick it up like that because I marked the word rejoice. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, always, at all times. Again, I will say, rejoice. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If God is sovereign, if he rules over all, as the Bible says, and his sovereignty rules over all, as Psalm 103 says, then God's in charge, and he could have kept me from falling, and he let me fall, so he has a purpose in it. So what am I to do? I am to count it all joy. I am to rejoice. That's application. So application means you know a truth, you've observed the text, you understand it, you have interpreted it, and you have the correct meaning. And then application means, okay, you put it into practice. So we're about to study the book of Philippians. And as we do, precious one, you are going to learn so much, especially if you will do your homework. Now, what I want to do is I want to read through Philippians chapter 1, not the whole chapter, but I want to read through it segment by segment. As I do, if you have your study guide in front of you, I want you to take two colors and color the reference to the author in one color and the reference to the recipients in the other color. Okay? And you're going to do this when we finish this program. I hope that you're going to sit down and go through the whole book of Philippians. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so what would you mark? You would mark Paul and Timothy, because this is the way the author is introducing himself. And then to whom is he writing? Well, it says to all the saints in Christ Jesus. So you would just color saints. I'm going to use the color orange. You can use whatever color you want. All right. And then when you get to verse 2 and it says grace to you saints in Philippi with the overseers and with the deacons, then you color that you orange also. So what you do is you color every pronoun and every synonym or every noun that refers to the recipients, and the same for the author. And so then he says, I, and then you would color that purple is what I'm coloring it, I thank my God, and you would do my, in all my remembrance of you. So you see that it starts off with Paul and Timothy, but what's happened in verse 2, in verse 3, what's happened? Paul's moved into the first person singular. So it's Paul and Timothy, and yet now Paul has gone right into the fact that it is really Paul that is dictating this letter. But you understand that Timothy is with him because he united Timothy with him. Now this is very important, and we'll see why later. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, and you would color the recipient, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. y'all. I think he might have been a Southerner. Okay, so you would mark you all. Now, when he says you all, what is he doing? He's saying inclusively. I'm not excluding anyone, but it's all of you in Philippi. And then he says, I am offering prayer in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So you would mark your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, what I want you to do is, as we read, I want you to see if you can detect any key repeated words. I've told you that this is an epistle of joy. We've already come to joy. And since it's an epistle of joy, you want to mark every reference to joy or rejoice, okay? And so what I did is I put a little red cloud around it, and then I put yellow in the center. And I'll tell you why I put yellow in the center later. But that's the way I mark joy. All right, now he says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, and the you there is a reference to the Philippians, and you want to mark it, that will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, for it is only right for me, author again, to feel this way about you all, and you want to mark that as recipients, because I have you in, and you want to mark you, I and you, in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. He says, for God is my witness how I long for you all. So I, you mark as recipients, and then in my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to stop there for a minute, because what I want us to do is, right after the break, I want us to go to Acts and look at the setting of this passage. When you mark the text, when you mark the author, and when you mark the recipients, it's not without purpose. Because what you want to do is you want to answer the observation questions. You want to answer who and what and when and where and why and how. Those are the observation questions. So you want to see what it teaches us about Paul. And when was this written? And where was Paul? And why did he do this? And then how was all of this done? So that's what we're going to look at when we come back right after the break. Welcome back, beloved friend and faithful student of the Word of God. Well, I told you that we were going to go to the historical section of Acts. But you know, in thinking about it, I want to show you one more thing as we keep reading, because I think it's important. So let's go on and start at verse 8. And you're going to mark the author and the recipients. And I'm not going to stop a lot, because I want us to see one thing. thing. I want you to listen for one key repeated word that would show you Paul's circumstances. Now, you realize once you sit down and do your homework and you do it all by yourself, that as you're slowing down and marking the text, you're really absorbing what it says. You just don't read the text and see, look for every I or my and color it. Or you don't throw it up on your computer, listen to me carefully, and just automatically hit the color for every I and my. Don't do that. This is God's Word, and you need to linger over the text, and you need to move slowly so that you can absorb its truths, so that no matter what circumstance you're in, you can have joy. And I'm talking about a consistent joy. I'm talking about a joy that overcomes the problems with people, a joy that overcomes the problems with things, a joy that overcomes your circumstances. I'm talking to you about a joy so that you can rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Well, let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge, and that's why the study is so important, and discernment, all discernment. And it's so important for us to be discerning, because you can hear many, many things said in the name of Jesus that aren't necessarily biblical. He says, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Remember, he mentioned that before in verse 6. He says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. He says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, some from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. I'm stopping there. My imprisonment. You got it. That was the word I wanted you to pick up. Now, why did I want you to pick up that word? Because what you see as you continue to read it is that Paul is in prison. In other words, Paul is a prisoner when he writes this epistle of joy. Are you a prisoner, beloved? Are you incarcerated, maybe in a prison that has no walls? Are you in chains and locked in? Maybe you're imprisoned in a difficult marriage. Maybe you're imprisoned in a difficult relationship. Maybe you're imprisoned in a job that you don't like. Maybe you're imprisoned in a physical condition so that you can't walk or you can't talk or you can't move. You can't do what you want to do because you're imprisoned in that way. Is it possible to have joy? Oh, yes, beloved, it is possible to have joy. What I want us to do now is I want us to take what we have seen and figure out, okay, what is going on in Paul's life at this time? How did he meet these people at Philippi? Well, as you go through, we know that Timothy is with Paul because Paul connects Timothy with him, although Paul then begins to speak in the first person. And we know that he is praying for them and he is rejoicing over their participation in the gospel. So we know that he is writing to the saints in Philippi, to Christians that have a church that is made up of overseers and deacons. And we know also that they have participated in the gospel, and that when Paul prays for them, he prays for them with joy. He prays with joy. So we know also that they are set with him for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And as we look at it, we see in verse 7, and let's look at it. He says, it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me. Now, when you read that, you want to put Paul in his setting. So you need to go back, and the book that's going to put Paul in his setting is the book of Acts. And when we go back to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 11, we find out how Paul came to Philippi. We know that he was traveling, and he had gone to Derbe and Lystra, and this is on his second missionary journey. And then he is passing through the churches, and as he passes through the cities, he wants to go, and you can look at your map, he wants to go into the Phrygian region of what is present-day Turkey and the Galatian region. And he gets ready to go there, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit forbids him to go. Watch what it says, verse 6. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, the word is the gospel. And one of the things I do is I mark the references to the gospel, and I mark them with a megaphone, and I draw red over that. I draw the megaphone in red, and then I color it green, okay? And that's just the way I mark it. All right, and when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul by night, a certain man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is right across that narrow waterbed between the top of Thrace and Macedonia, which is present-day Greece, and Turkey. And it says, a vision appeared. A certain man was standing there and appealing, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel, and I mark gospel there, to them. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis. It's a little port. And then it says, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. What happened in that city? Well, we're going to look at that in our next lesson, and we're going to find out the great event. But I will tell you this, that his trip on that third missionary journey landed him in prison, and it was from prison that he was writing this epistle. It's an epistle of joy. And it tells you, beloved, that no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're imprisoned in, you can have joy. You can rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, and again, I say rejoice. He says, it's good for me to remind you of these things.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
You know, beloved, as I'm teaching you all this, I can see it in my mind's eye. Because every other year, what we do as a ministry is we do a teaching tour. And we fly into Thessaloniki, Greece. And then the next day, we go up to Philippi. And we have lunch in Neapolis, in that port city. And then we go to Philippi. And we walk the very streets that Paul walked. We sit in the amphitheater, and there we study right on site the book of Philippians, this epistle of joy. We get to walk to this prison. Now, this is not the prison that Paul is talking about when he says my imprisonment in Philippians, in the epistle to the Philippians, because he's in a Roman prison in Rome when he writes that. But we go to the prison, and we're going to study this in our next lesson, but we go to the prison where Paul was incarcerated in Philippi for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what you're going to see is, how does Paul react? Is Paul just writing these things? Is he just saying these things? Or does he live out the Word of God? Well, beloved, you're going to see that he lives out the Word of God. And that's what God wants you to do today. God wants you to live all this week according to his Word. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, man doesn't live by bread alone, but he lives by, or she lives by, every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Remember, I told you that I fell. I told you that it changed my whole agenda. And I mean, it changed my whole agenda. I mean, it is very difficult to be in a wheelchair, you know, for one single month, to not be able to put your foot down. And yet God, because I know his word, and because I know that he tells me I'm to count it all joy, then I have to be obedient. And when you're obedient to God, then what happens? There comes a peace in your heart. Remember, he said, grace and peace to you. The peace comes from knowing the Prince of Peace. The peace comes from knowing and understanding that he is there for your every circumstance, for your every situation. And the joy comes when you run to the Prince of Peace, when you embrace him, when you cling to him as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so that you might be a person of praise and renown and honor and glory at the coming of Jesus Christ. Beloved, you're going to learn so much about joy, joy that comes from the peace of obedience.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.